for a special Christmas gift. Just call the station, 217-367-7777, and we can mail those out to you in the next few days. So Singing Men CDs. We had a sign up for the Israel trip that you're being the primary teacher for in March, and I had a sheet laid out and some people had signed up. And so maybe we'll just do a quick little announcement. We haven't said much about it over the air, but March 2nd through the 13th of 2013, so I guess about 4 or so months away, we'll be taking a group to the Holy Land. We'll be touring throughout the Holy Land, but it'll also include some special humanitarian projects. We'll have the opportunity to serve and share the love of Jesus with people. And because we have that element built into the trip, half of the trip costs can be raised through, you know, your church mission fund or through friends and neighbors or those that want to help send you to the Holy Land. So that's a unique way to bring some of the trip costs down for you. So you kind of pay half and then you can raise half, or you can pay it all and half would be a tax deduction. But that's coming up. And in fact, because we're doing that trip, you kind of caught the vision and said, Mark, I want to prepare these people before they go on the trip. And in fact, I just want to prepare Christians in general. And you have a little flyer that you created, and we're going to send it out to people in the next few weeks. And I've handed it out to some of the Singing Men. But tell us about this Rabbi Jesus teaching series that we're going to begin a week from this coming Friday.
Really, it just says, Rabbi Jesus, join us as we study the Jewish cultural roots of the Old and New Testament and their deep connection to the land of Israel. You know, this land of Israel where God chose as he put skin on, and as it says in John, he came down and he dwelt among us. He tabernacled amongst us. Well, he chose this land called Israel, which has this deep connection all the way back to the beginning of the Bible, you know, way back in Genesis. I think that as Western evangelical Christians, we have lost sight of the Jewish roots of the Bible. Mm-hmm. We've lost sight of it. Like I shared with a number of folks at the Olive Garden when they were asking me, what is this about? I said, Matthew and Mark and John were Jewish. Therefore, they wrote the Gospels from a Jewish perspective. Luke was not. He was Greek. But still, he was influenced by Mark's gospel because we know that Mark wrote first. Therefore, Mark laid out kind of an outline for everybody else to work from. And then we know that Paul was a rabbi. Paul was a Jewish teacher. In fact, it says that Paul studied beneath Gamaliel. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel. Gamaliel, it says in the Mishnah, it says that Gamaliel was one of the most esteemed teachers. And when he passed away, that all the breath of teaching came out of the Torah. So Gamaliel being this great teacher, which then meant that Paul wasn't just a good teacher. Paul was probably a great teacher. And we read in the Bible,
like discipled under the best.
Right. And we read in the Bible that Paul went to the synagogues and he reasoned with the Jews. Not everybody just got to come in the door and reason with the Jews. When he arrived, he had Jewish credibility. I think about that great passage in Philippians where the Jews, you know, the Judaizers are basically going around and causing trouble for the Philippian church. And Paul goes, okay, we want to talk about pedigree? Well, I'm Pharisee of the Pharisee tribe of Benjamin. You know, he lays it out. He goes, I'm the man. And by the way, I'm willing to bow down because Jesus is the man. But we have to understand those Jewish roots, because if we don't understand those Jewish roots, if we don't understand what a Jewish writer's perspective is, I think it was a very secular writer, Stephen King, said, to know the writings, you must know the writer, because you must know the perspective in which they write in, the brokenness or the healing that they write from, the place that they were, the places they've been. That shapes what they've written.
And you gave an example last night. I was overhearing you explaining, like an example from the gospel, what something would mean. You gave that illustration about like the eyes being the lamp of the body or something. Tell that again, because that's a really good intro into some of the things that you're going to discuss as you teach this series beginning a week from next Friday.
Yeah. Well, it says in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. If your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And I have heard many, many times this passage used in terms of men who look at pornography or lust or that, you know, well, when you sin with your eyes, you make your whole body bad. And that's not what it means. Because if we understand the Jewish idiom for a good
eye. And explain what an idiom is.
An idiom is kind of a cultural saying. A great way to define that is it's raining cats and dogs, something that's very much just a part of our culture. Somebody shared with me not too long ago that in Russia they say it's raining doorknobs and bedposts. So everybody has a different kind of cultural euphemism is a bad word. What would the word be?
Well, you were saying that idiom, but it's great because we literally know it's not raining cats and dogs. It's an expression. And so everyone's familiar with, like, an idiom is just something where you kind of exaggerate using, everyone knows what we're saying. So it's raining cats and dogs, but it's not really raining cats and dogs, but we understand, wow, it's really coming down.
Yeah, so Jesus says the eyes is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. Well, in Jewish terms, to have a good eye means to be generous. We can go back to Deuteronomy chapter 15 and verse 9. It says, take care, lest there be an unworthy thought in your heart, and you say, the seventh year, the year of release is near, and your eye look grudgingly on your poor brother, and you give him nothing, and he cry to the Lord against you, and you be guilty of sin. See, when we understand the relationship of the Old Testament and the New Testament, we understand that, number one, that this good eye has to do with generosity, with our generosity to our brothers and our sisters. And then we go forward here, and Jesus uses it again. By the way, if you go to Israel, there's a cancer fund that raises money, and they use the idiom, they say, give with a good eye. Jesus is saying here, if your eye is good, you will be generous. You'll be full of light. Well, you know what? People I know who are generous are more and more full of the Holy Spirit. And that fits in. See, if somebody says, well, no, wait, this just has to do with what you see with your eyes and the condition of your soul. Well, that would be within Jesus' message, but disconnected from his main message. But when we talk about the good eye being generosity to the widows and the orphans and the least of these, that fits perfectly into the context of the message that Jesus came. And one of the great messages he came to preach. In fact, when we read the Gospels, he spends a great deal of time talking about the least of these, the poor, the orphans, the widows. It's one of the things that the apostles take up as a mantle in Acts. And they say, look, there's widows and we're not able to feed them. We've got to do something. So this fits into the context of what Jesus is teaching and what Jesus wants to say, but often we have lost sight of that because we don't know what that Jewish idiom is. Look, here's a great thing to understand. English language has like 20,000 words, I think, and I think there's even more than that. There's a lot of words. The Jewish language, especially the Jewish language of the Bible, it only had 4,500 words. That was it. So words did double duty. Words were used experientially with a physicality to them. Everything was more than just that word, because when a word was said, people would equate it with a physical object or an experience. So there was a deeper meaning to things, because they couldn't define everything down to the nth like we can today. You know, we can pretty squarely define what something is. They couldn't do that. So they would connect it to some deep experience that they had had, and we've lost that.
And so this six-part series, which you can come once or all six times, so don't worry if you miss one. It's not like they're all strung together, but you're going to take different biblical narratives, different maybe sites or locations or themes, and each week.
I taught this class in one form. I taught this class at a church in Peoria for a number of years. 3 years I taught this class. So I wrote it and then worked out the kinks, and I taught it maybe seven times. And I agree with you. It's broken down into individual classes. The first class will be Thinking Torah.
Now, when is that?
That's going to be on December 14th. The second class.
So that's a week from this coming. There's this coming Friday, then a week from this Friday. And what are the times? Just so people can get that down and we'll share it again.
6:30 to 8 p.m.
6:30 to 8 p.m. So about an hour and a half. It'll be a great time of fellowship. And what's the very first theme?
It's going to be Thinking Torah. So this is what I would tell people. If there's a class that you want to attend, or if you want to dip your feet in the water, that's the one to come to, because we're going to talk about what it means to use the first five books of the Bible as the lens from which you read the entire Bible from. How you think Torah being the teaching of God, the first five books of the Bible, how Jesus would have viewed that, because that's what we're missing. We're missing looking at the world through these first century lenses. And instead we look at it now, 2,000 years later, through a different set of lenses, and we miss so many things because they've just been lost to time.
And Great News Radio is helping sponsor this event. This is something that Jason and I have been praying about, talking about, thinking through, and we just said, hey, let's just do a series on Rabbi Jesus and just connect it, help the evangelical mind understand some of the Hebrew idioms, some of the Hebrew expressions, just the unique way that a Jewish mind would catch it, but oftentimes our Greek, Roman, Greco mind might just miss some very important truths or nuggets. So it's going to be kind of a Bible teaching series. I'm excited to attend and hope many of you can come out. So put at least the first date on your calendar. You'll hear more about the other dates. But it's Friday night, December 14th, from 6:30 to 8 p.m., and it's going to be happening at the Community Evangelical Free Church. That's right on Route 47 in River Bend Boulevard in Mahomet. And if you need more information, you can call the station, 217-367-7777, or you can call Jason at the church. Maybe you have a question. Maybe you'd say, hey, can we bring my small group, or would my family, would somebody 10 years old or 15-year-olds feel comfortable in the class? I mean, he can cover some of those specifics, but the number of the church is 217-586-5165. That's 217-586-5165. I'm excited about it, and it's a week from this Friday, December 14th, and then kind of every other week, if you will, after that, December 28th, January 11th, January 25th, February 8th, and February 22nd. So almost every other week, every other week, every third week. So we'll have that series going.
And I kidded some ladies last night that the second class is the day before my birthday, so we're going to have cake in that class. So, you know, if you told me you're going to have cake at your event, I probably would 50% better chance I arrived there.
So I hope many of you will come out. It's a great series, and whether you can come once or all six times, I think we're going to all profit. Hey, you can never go wrong when you meet with other believers and you study God's Word. I mean, it's like a no-brainer. If you have the night available, make it a date night. Take your honey out, get an early dinner in, and then come join us for a time of great fellowship. So I'm looking forward to that. And thank you, God, for Joey. He came all the way in from Springfield and recorded a number of our radio listeners. You'll hear some of those testimonies and spots in the coming days. And it was just great. Karen Harrison, the worker bee of